Hey, everybody, my speech in front of the Turning Point Academy breakout at AmFest. I think you'll really enjoy this. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point Academy at turningpointacademy.org. They're doing a great job. That's turningpointacademy.org. And please consider becoming a member of the Charlie Kirk team. That's charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab, charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab, and you guys get access to amazing content, including our exclusive conversation with Tucker Carlson. And it's affordable for all ages. It's affordable for all people. And it helps us out, helps us grow and stay uncancelable. Go to charliekirk.com and become a member. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Turning Point Academy's breakout session. We're so glad that you're here, and so glad that you got here early so you could be here. We're really looking forward to this time, and I just wanted to let you know that Turning Point Academy is not a school. It's a movement of education to reclaim, revive, and reform education across the country, and it's happening. After our special guest speaks today, and we're going to have time for a little bit of Q&A after that. We're going to share a little bit more about Turning Point Academy, some things we think you'll be very, very interested in knowing. But first, we want to show you this brief video just to give you a taste of what we're all about. Watch this.
A California kindergarten teacher is facing outrage after discussing gender identity with her students.
New test scores show dramatic learning loss.
It's called SOGI. For sexual orientation and gender identification.
We do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. Oh, that one?
There is a right and a wrong way to educate a child.
My good friend Charlie Kirk is taking on the left's agenda, launching Turning Point Academy. For 10 years, you've been building a movement. Now you're building schools.
I think this is a great opportunity in front of us.
Turning Point Academy is committed to reclaiming, reviving, and restoring virtuous, God-centered education through the seeding of 5C schools. Our 5Cs? Christian, classical, conservative, church-based, and cost-affordable.
With the start of schools across the country and with plans of several others in the works, we're also so thankful that we've been able to have educator summits across the country where educators from private, public, and homeschooling environments have joined us in Phoenix and also in Chicago.
Turning Point Academy is that, like that gold seal, that stamp of who we are and what we represent. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done and already the most rewarding thing that I've ever done.
Everything that's going on in public education isn't just bad, it's actually evil. And we have to provide a place where Christian families can go that their kids can know what's true. We wanted somebody who was wise enough, who had the road wisdom to walk with us, and it was after we prayed that prayer that we got connected to Turning Point Academy, and they instantly became the most valuable partner that we've had in our journey, and they remain that to this day.
My child can read at a really high level. He's reading really big books, and he's doing the omnibus classes with his other friends here. It's a blessing, and God's going to bless everyone, just as he's blessing Turning Point Academy.
We're so grateful that we can make these opportunities available through the generous gifts and donations and contributions of a number of donor friends. Another area is taking advantage of the various curricula that we have available. We have developed a number of pieces of curriculum that we believe would be very helpful. And then we would appreciate, and if you would consider being a part of our Turning Point Academy Association, We are bringing together people from across the country as well as schools that share a common vision and desire to make a positive difference in the world of education. And so we invite you to participate and be a part of making all of this possible as we seek together to bring reformation to education across our nation.
Join Turning Point Academy and Turning Point USA in doing the hard work to save America, one school at a time.
Turning Point Academy will restore the memory of the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world.
One of the things Charlie has said is that he's going to work harder in 2024 than he's done previously. I don't think that's possible. I do know that he's already speaking several times this weekend, and we're so grateful that he's willing and able to speak for us at our first breakout here at AmFest. And as I think about Charlie, I think it's only appropriate that he is the first speaker because it was really his vision that launched Turning Point Academy a little over 2 years ago. And we as a division are only about a year and a half old, so we're still growing and getting traction, but we're excited about what's happening. I just want to say a word for the one person here that may not know Charlie. So I'm going to just tell you very quickly that Charlie, as you know, is the founder of Turning Point USA, started in the northern suburbs of Chicago 11 years ago. And fast forward to the present, Turning Point USA is now the fastest growing and largest conservative student organization in the country. I think you know that. I can't believe there'd be many conservative organizations that are larger than Turning Point USA in general. But I want to tell you something that you may not know. Charlie's influence extends so much beyond Turning Point USA, which we are so grateful for, and I know that you are as well. I just want to give you one or two really quick examples of that. I was talking recently to a man who's very connected in the state of Florida in terms of Florida politics. And he said, I don't think Charlie gets enough credit for electing, getting Ron DeSantis elected in the first election. I share that only as an example of the way that God is actually using Charlie to have influence across the country in so many ways that we don't know. But I want to share one other very, very quickly before Charlie comes. I know many of you are teachers and educators, and I think this story will encourage you. In the northern suburbs of Chicago, there was a faithful fifth grade teacher who taught for almost three decades in a Christian school in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And this teacher, Mrs. Cindy Weber, would faithfully go up and down the aisles praying over the desk of her students, praying for her students, and really seeking their spiritual welfare as well as their educational welfare. And during the course of her tenure as a teacher there at this school, there was a fifth grade boy, tall, or fifth grade boy, who was always carrying a football around with him and always organizing the other students, she told me. And she said, I saw leadership qualities in him. During the course of that fifth grade year, in God's goodness and mercy, really to him, but to all of us, that fifth grade boy committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that set the trajectory of that boy's life, and that boy was Charlie Kirk. And little did Mrs. Cindy Weber know that her faithful prayers and shepherding of those students would impact literally millions and millions of people through Charlie Kirk. And so I share that with you as those of you that are involved in education, whether homeschool, as a teacher, as administrator, the impact that you are having and the potential impact you can have. When I think of Charlie, I think of the words of G.K. Chesterton just a little over 100 years ago. I think this is so true of Charlie. He said, the true soldier fights not because he looks what is in front of him, not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves that which is behind him. And for Charlie, that's our Lord first and foremost, but also our nation. And we're so thankful that Charlie is a true soldier and that we have the privilege of hearing him this morning. Please join me in welcoming Charlie Kirk.
Thank you, brother. That was really great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I got a mic.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Great to be here. All right. That was really great, Hutz. Give it up for Hutz. He's doing a great job running Turning Point Academy. Just so honored to see this turnout and so good to be able to see so many of you. You know, on stage, I only can see like a couple hundred, and it's just amazing. So it's so great to see so many of your faces. I'm going to speak for just a little bit, and then let's do some Q&A. But I want to make sure a couple things that I emphasize. Number one, you need to learn more and support Turning Point Academy. If you have kids in grade school, if you have kids in high school, in government school, you got to get plugged in. Hutz and Jennifer and the team, they're doing unbelievable work, guys. And it is growing fast. We are getting association schools. It's one of the most important things we're doing at Turning Point USA to kind of lead this education revolution. So that's number one. So say hello afterwards. Go by the booth, especially if you are a parent of a kid right now that, you know, eighth grade, seventh grade. That is really where a lot of this stuff is happening, and a lot of this indoctrination and this nonsense. Number two, I want to talk about the purpose of education, because I think we've really gone awry in this country. And even some conservatives, by the way, don't understand what education is. If you ask a everyday kind of run-of-the-mill conservative, they'd say, oh, you know, education is about getting skills for the workplace. Is that what education is? And it sounds good, right? In fact, I used to say that. I used to say, you know, we need to get people to be really good and, you know, prepared for a career. Now, that's helpful. But education has never been about that. That is a Prussian, German, honestly, totalitarian approach to education. What education used to be, and it comes from a Latin word which means to lead forth, is the development of the soul of the student, is to make the student understand what is good, true, and beautiful. Education should be to create good people. And the skills can always be layered on after. Instead, education is not about wisdom. It's about, oh, you know, here's a memorization and just memorize for the test and that's it. And, you know, just here's some skills and some widget stuff. How often in education do we ask the question of any young person, what is good? What is evil? What is moral? What is holy? What is profane? And at some point, we conservatives and Christians too, we said, well, I want a neutral education. How often have you heard this, right? There's no such thing as a neutral education. Let me say that again. It's impossible. You might say, oh, no, I can make it possible. Okay, at some point, there will be a teacher that says, now, no cheating. I thought this was a neutral education. Who are you to say cheating's wrong? And they'd say, well, you know, it's obvious. No, actually, it's not obvious that cheating is wrong. By whose standard? What is good? And maybe the teacher would say, you know, don't cut in line. Maybe you know you have single file. Or don't steal, you know, your friend's lunch. Don't interrupt the teacher. Respect your teacher. Those are all moral statements. There is no such thing as a neutral education. And we have fallen for this lie. Where we say, oh, you know, I can't stand when parents say, you know, let's get CRT out of the schools because I just want my kids to learn math, science, and arithmetic. Now, that sounds good, but hold on a second. You think that just getting rid of CRT in the schools, you're going to have this, like, beautiful, neutral education? At some point, a student is going to ask the question, well, but why do you say this is right and this is wrong? And the teacher will say, oh, it's just common sense. No, it's actually not common sense. I was struck by a new friend of ours at Turning Point USA and this unbelievable lunch. And this is graphic, and I just want to be clear. This is a real thing, okay? And he does mission work in the third world. I've never been to Africa. I have been to the third world. I've never been to Africa. And he was telling me about the mission work he was doing, and he was talking about how he goes to Uganda especially, and he goes to these slums and these villages, millions and millions of people, right? Not a Christian area. The gospel is spreading there, praise God, but largely pagan. And just kind of natural. And he says, yeah, you know, it's common practice. He said this so casually. He goes there and does emergency surgeries for people that can't afford it. He says, yeah, it just happens all the time that if a spouse dies or mom dies, you just don't want a baby. You just leave the baby by the fireplace and you abandon it and people just keep walking by until the baby dies. And we in the West, like, oh my goodness, we gasp. Happens all the time in Africa. All the time. People, you never hear this, right? All the time. Ask any missionary that goes into the third world. It's like commonplace. Yeah, of course. Because it's not normal. It's not natural. You have to teach people that that is evil. We're so conditioned in the West because we've inherited a Christian morality, because we've inherited a biblical morality, that when we hear that, we gasp. Because thankfully, you've been taught correctly by somebody somewhere to know that is evil. In Uganda, they're like, oh, that baby's a parasite. Just, by the way, how is that any different than Planned Parenthood? Just be honest, okay? How is that any different than what Planned Parenthood does in this country? It's not, is the answer. Now, what is the point? The point is, if we don't get education right in this country, it is not common sense to preserve the values or the morals that we hold. And this is something that I repeat time and time again. And I'm sure there's some people here that might be, you know, not as religious or secular. I'm so glad you're here, by the way. I hope you're moved throughout this weekend to develop your spiritual life and give your life to Christ. I really mean that. I hope that this weekend pushes you towards that, okay? And I have my great friend Frank Turek here, by the way. This is a great American. I love this guy. He is such a great Christian. And I've learned a lot from him. So sometimes, you know, I'll talk to somebody, and I understand the attitude. I want to meet people halfway. Because the attitude of a so-called neutral education space is this. It comes from a good place, but intentions don't mean anything in this, okay? It comes from a space of, I don't want to impose. That's where it comes from. It comes from, well, I just don't want to tell other people. So I just kind of want everyone to get along and live and let live. And we have had that false promise of neutrality. And you know who doesn't have neutrality? The LGBT people and the DEI people. They march into the classroom and groom your children while we're arguing for a neutral public square. And even if we get back to neutrality, there will be no neutrality. Because at some point, someone's going to raise their hand, like kids love to do in sixth grade. I have a question. Is it okay if I take hormones and I think I'm a boy? But what does a neutral educator say? Maybe at best go ask, go talk to your parents. But that's a moral answer. That's something that is a moral biblical answer. Go talk to your parents. So there's no such thing as neutrality in education. At some point, you have to make a statement of what is true. And so if you're here and you say, you know, I'm not crazy about the religious thing, that's fine. Then you have to answer, what is your instruction manual for life? What is the operator's manual? And I'm open to any answers, okay? Because I do a lot of reading. I read 120 books a year, okay? And I encourage you guys to do it. I listen to them 2x speed sometimes. So just to make you feel better, okay? No, it's true. But it counts, okay? It counts. And I'm open, okay? Here's my operating manual, the Bible, okay? That's my operating manual. That's it. So, I don't mean this condescendingly. Anybody, you guys can submit your operating manual for what you think a civilization and what you think education should be based on, okay? Maybe it's, you know, John Locke, or maybe it's Machiavelli, which would be really weird, and, you know, maybe it's Rousseau, whatever it is, right? And at some point, this is where their argument collapses. They'll say, it's just kind of like a combination of common sense and attitudes and community values. No. No, what's the thing that you reference? What's the thing that you say that we point at? Whatever that might be. And what we have allowed our Supreme Court to do, which was a terrible decision, we've allowed our traditions to do, is there's no standard. And therefore, the worst standard fills the void. And government schools, they say that they're supposed to be viewpoint neutral. And they're the opposite of viewpoint neutral. Now, the owner's manual of the country is the Declaration of the Constitution. That's the owner's manual. And it should be. The Constitution is an unbelievable document, which, by the way, is inspired directly and built on biblical principles. But when you go into education, you're a parent, or even if you're in college, it's an important question. And you might have a different answer. You might say, Charlie, you know, the answer to that question, my owner's manual, the most important book is, Pray, Eat, Love, or whatever that stupid book is, right? Love, Eat, Pray, or whatever, right? Or, you know, something. But it's amazing how people can't answer that question. They haven't thought through it. It's like, by what do you reference to find out how to act? I just kind of act how I feel. That's a really bad idea, first of all. You wonder why you're so unhappy and you have no purpose? Because you're not referencing anything to get direction from. Because look, life can be very confusing. But it's less confusing and easier for those of us that every morning and every night and throughout the day, we can kind of go back to our compass, back to our navigational tool, right? And say, am I in alignment? Should I have treated that person that way? Maybe I was a little rude. Maybe I was a little prideful. Maybe I was too aggressive. I get too aggressive. I'll be honest. That's one of my sins. No, we all have sins, right? I tend to be aggressive. And also, honestly, not really tolerant. But that's a separate issue. A tolerant of evil, for the record, okay? If you love God, you must hate evil. No, it's Psalm 97:10. It's the real thing. But what I love about what Turning Point Academy is doing is, in a loving way, but a direct and truthful way, which is the gospel, love and truth, is saying that there is going to be a standard of which we base education on. That we are not going to fall for the false trap of neutrality. And whatever that might be, and the danger of falling into this false thing of neutrality that happens time and time again is the outgrowth is you have vulnerable students that then are able to be intercepted by the Marxists because they have nothing of which they have a navigational tool. They have no compass. They have no map. And they go right into college and somebody says, oh, by the way, let me introduce you to a compass and a map. It's called the Communist Manifesto or Das Kapital or even worse, your map should be your feelings. Your map should be you. Because if you have nothing transcendent of which to base your action on, then you just say, you're the most important thing in the world. That's why the self-esteem movement is trash. I can't stand it. And people say all the time, you know, the self-esteem movement is this wonderful thing. Hold on a second. I'll prove it to you, okay? I'll prove to you how I go to these schools sometimes. It drives me crazy. And I was these posters, and they say, you're perfect the way you are. And it sounds good, right? Feels good. You know, I like the bumper sticker and all perfect the way you are. So I remember we had one of these in like 7th or 8th grade, and I was kind of a brat, and I asked the teacher, I said, if I'm perfect the way I am, why do I have to do homework and why am I in school? What is that all about? And then she said, well, what do you think the sign should say? And I said it a little sloppier, but I'll give you a better answer. You're not all that you yet could be. What a much better thing to tell a young person, right? You got a lot of work to do, but one day maybe you can get there. That's a lot different than you're perfect the way you are. You're perfect the way you are is inward facing, that you have all the, and actually you don't have the answers. You don't. I hear all the time, they say, you know, you just have to, you know, dive deeper within yourself. I think that's a bunch of trash, honestly. What has that gotten us? Transgenderism. My feelings matter. What does that get us? Suicide. It does. If you only think about yourself all the time, there's nothing external, and you don't like the way things are going, just kill yourself. I know that sounds really brutal, but it's 100% the morality or the lack thereof that leads to the most suicidal generation in history, the most drug-addicted generation in history, the least, you know, let's just say the most fragile generation in history, because they can't have any other ideas that might violate them. And this is what drives me crazy, though. Some of the trans zealots, they say, oh, you know, well, I feel unsafe because of words that you say. And our answer shouldn't be, oh, well, you know, I'm really sorry. Why on earth does your personal anxiety dictate my ability to speak the truth? Like, where did we ever go wrong? Where I have to now, like, accommodate my language because you collapse into a puddle because I say something that's biologically true. So, anyway, Turning Point Academy is doing a great job, everybody. I spent more time on that than I wanted to, but I'm glad I did. So, I talk for a living. I'm sorry. It's just, they have me on this schedule that's unbelievable. I'm, like, doing, like, 11 hours of speeches a day. It's great. I'm telling you, I'm going to work the hardest I've ever worked in 2024. I want you guys to sign that pledge, too. Whatever that is. Okay, guys? Whatever that is. All right? Just, and that is the last thing I'll say. For those of you that listen to the Charlie Kirk Show, thank you, by the way, that listen to the podcast. God bless you guys. Thank you that watch on Real America's Voice. Thank you, guys. You know, sometimes when, you know, God wants to send you a message, you just have to be willing to hear. And I just kept on, one after the other, and podcasts and sermons and random opening of Bibles and readings, the Hebrew word hineni just kept popping up. And I mentioned this in the speech last evening, and I want to emphasize this. It's this incredible phrase, which is, here I am, is the best English translation, but it doesn't do it justice, okay? It literally means, God, what are the marching orders? And it comes at times of inflection. It's not used generously in the Hebrew Bible, in the Torah, in the Word of God. It is not used a lot. It's used at high, high points of indecision, what we would call turning points. When Abraham was tested by God at the binding of Isaac, and he says, here I am. When Moses, who had a great life, by the way, he got along with his father-in-law, like, what a great thing, honestly. Got away, you know, they're not chasing him for murder because he did something he shouldn't have done, but that's a separate issue. And all of a sudden, like, he's living a nice life. And burning bush, here I am. Moses' life was very tough from that point forward. It was. Moses is one of the sadder figures. I think he's actually one of the most amazing people in the Bible. But he's one of the sadder figures because here's this guy living a great life, and he's like, okay, I am going to lead you. I'm going to have you, Moses, be my instrument because you're willing. Here I am. Makes you think, was God waiting for somebody to just say, what are the marching orders? Makes you think, why did he choose Moses? Well, we do know that Moses stood up for the vulnerable and stood up for the weak. We know a little bit. Abraham, we have no idea why he was chosen. No idea. He's like a random guy living with his dad. Like, you, Abram. What? Yeah, leave your father's home. And like, you're kind of like a loser. Like, it would be nice if you showered once in a while and shaved. Guy's a total mess, right? Moses, on the other hand, we have some idea of why he is. But he's willing and his life changes forever. And you look at Moses' story and God says, look, I get it. The Hebrews, the most unimpressive group of people in the history of the planet, right? And by the way, you know that's not my words. Just read the Bible. They're complaining. They're lying. They're cheating. This is the words of Dennis Prager, right? It's like not exactly building like temples and you know conquering lands. This is not like the Assyrian Empire, okay? It's not like God picked you know the Assyrians and said, I'm going to make a great people out of you. These people were slaves, the lowest of all lows. And Moses says, here I am. And God delivers them from Egypt, and you guys know the story and the miracles. They go into the desert. A couple days in desert, the Hebrews are like, yeah, you know, we want to go back to slavery because we had better food. What? Yeah, like, oh, we had cucumbers, lemon, you know, melons, leeks, meat. Literally, it's there in the book of Numbers. They're like, these are all the food that we had. We miss being slaves. We hate this freedom thing. It's like, okay, you are very unimpressive. But Moses was faithful, and it started with that attitude of here I am. Isaiah. Samuel, you see this repeated throughout the scriptures, and I think that needs to be our attitude through this conference and through 2024, which is, what are the marching orders? God, use me. No more on the sidelines, right? And history is made by people who ask God, what are the marching orders? And they do come at monumental times. You know, somebody says, Charlie, what is your prediction for 2024? I said, I don't do predictions, but I will make one prediction. 2024 is going to be biblical. Whatever you think about 2024, there's like all these like different forces combining. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I can't wait to see. I'll tell you. Whether it's going to be good or not so good or really great or not so great. I am insanely thankful that we get to kind of see this whole thing unfold and play a small part. And Turning Point Academy is on the cutting edge of that, guys. Educating the next generation, passing down these values to students, and doing so in a winsome, persuasive, and effective way. And I'll close with this. Yeah, look, I'm a product of Christian education. I'm a product of a single teacher, Cindy Weber, who did her job. And she did her job every day. And she had no idea that the desk she was praying over and the students that she was speaking to, what was going to happen, right? And, you know, here's this, again, I couldn't sit still, still can't, kid who was probably not, you know, an easy student to teach, but she faithfully taught me, and she faithfully poured into me. And then 19 years later, here we are, the largest movement in the country, period. And you kind of go back to that point of origination. And for those of you that are losing hope, you know, I love what Martin Luther said, right, which is if you think the world is ending, plant a tree. Go plant a tree. Like, go do something that you know will bear fruit tomorrow. And yeah, you know, things looked bad 19 years ago, too. It always looks bad, right? It seems that way in the modern era. But now look at this beautiful thing of hope. And think about, if am I going to do my job so that 19 years from now, there might be another change maker that is doing something and pushing forward? That's the marching order, especially for the parents and grandparents here in the room. Okay, let's do some questions for the time we have remaining. Thanks for sitting through that, guys. Yes. Let's line up single file, guys, okay? Let's make them questions, not statements with inflections. Okay.
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am, right here.
Hi, thank you so much. I was wondering if the Christian Academy will also allow for people of other faiths. I'm a Zoroastrian, which is the oldest monotheistic religion, the three wise men who visited Jesus.
From Iran, right?
Yeah. Yes. So I was just wondering if that, and Judaism and other faiths that are in alignment with Christianity, because not they're smaller numbers, but they're still in alignment with this whole value system that you're talking about.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, the parents have to sign a statement of faith. That's the way it works, right? So it depends on the school, right? And I'm happy to talk and dialogue privately, but if the parents are willing to sign a statement of faith and willing to kind of go through that process, then yes. And I know that specifically at Christian Heritage Academy, one of the two parents had to sign a statement of faith. But I've actually never met a Zoroastrian, so that's really cool. So I'd love to chat with you later.
Okay.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Charlie. Are there any plans for TPUSA to help parents and their to help parents and their students who try to start chapters like Downers Grove High School, and they reject it because they think TPUSA is radical? I know we could start them outside, but is there anything that could be done to try to fight back when they just reject it because they don't like your organization, but they have other organizations within the school?
Yeah, at that point, and we're happy to help. We have to go to the courts at that point, because that's a great example, right? So you've been fighting like heck. I think you're on like a terror watch list or something, right? Yeah, we all are. Okay. I know someone was like, "Ooh, terror watch list." Yeah, you're on the list too. You have no idea. Walk in here, they're tracking you. You're all getting audited. Some people aren't laughing. And so, Terry, I want to just, he's done a great job. He gets patted down at airports. He's on the domestic terror watch list. No, I'm not kidding. It's a real thing. Because he tried to start a Turning Point group and the whole thing. That's a great example. Donner's Grove, north or south? Which one is it? North?
North.
My kids go to south, but
south. Okay.
Yeah, south rejected.
Yeah, my mom actually went to Donner's Grove south. So they say, we're neutral, but except we don't want Turning Point. We're neutral. We don't want to have, you know, a constitutional club. No, they're not neutral. You guys know that, right? And they haven't been neutral for quite some time. The death of modern education is when we bought into the false promise of neutrality. By the way, Bill Federer over here is another great American. Love Bill. He does a great job. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. My name is Ludovico. My friend over there, John. We started a Turning Point chapter at a private school with about 500 kids in Los Angeles. And so my question to you is, how do you feel we could expand our reach not only to members of our school but to neighboring schools who have been indoctrinated for countless of years in the education system?
Well, first of all, this is why we're going to win, everybody. We have this high school remnant. It's amazing. I love it. The bad guys don't know how to deal with this. The more they try to stifle and suppress us, there's this next generation that is popping open. Look, here's what I'll say is, really pray about the word being winsome, which is nobody wants to associate with, you know, angry political activists. So just always stay joyful and happy and despite all the opposition. And as far as finding other schools, social media is a great tool of doing that and reaching out and encourage debate and encourage dialogue with those that disagree, right? You should invite it. You should seek it out. You should try to have those. And honestly, you know, it will strengthen your arguments. It's as good for you as it is for them. Okay, and I want you to understand that. I have cut my teeth with plenty of debates, as you probably know. And you get better as years go on and you research and you know your stuff. But it's good for you to have your arguments challenged. Like, maybe I haven't thought of it that way. But by the way, I don't know it all when I go to these campuses. Now, I'll say 99% of these kids have no idea what they're talking about. 1% of the time, though, 1% of the time, they'll say something that they thought of, which maybe they did, or they stumbled upon that I have to reconsider. So I go back, and all of a sudden, you do that for 11 years, and you're pretty good at what, you know, you're pretty good, and you know what you believe and why you believe it. Here's one of the reasons why we are able to get so many people to leave the left is because They have never had, first of all, it's very hard to strengthen the argument on the left, but they've never had to defend their position against opposition. Ever. And so they just believe it, and it's the dominant opinion, and the other people are awful. And the next thing you know, like, awful, right? Next thing you know, they're 21 or 22, and they see a video of Candace Owens or of Charlie Kirk or Brandon Tatum, and it shocks their world. And they're like, well, that makes sense, and what do I actually believe? And these defections start to really happen, right? Because they've never actually thought deeply about their position, but having that happen in high school is super important. God bless you, men. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Charlie. So myself and my chapter from Suffolk University are here. And so I had a question about, you know, the work that Turning Point Academy is going to do for, like, morality and education. So we posted a tweet from Riley Gaines on our chapter Instagram story, and we were met with a meeting requiring, or a letter requiring us to have a meeting with the Office of Title IX because we, quote, use the club social media account to post a derogatory message relating to transgender females. This behavior may violate the Title IX policy and or other university policies, end quote. So I'd like to know, like, the kind of work that Turning Point Academy is going to do to sort of oppose the Biden administration's redefinition of the Title IX policy.
This is so important. And I have a very, very radical view on this, but it is, I can defend it, and I've thought about it, which is we made a huge mistake when we passed the Civil Rights Act in the mid-1960s. I know that sounds radical. You have no idea what we actually ushered in. We ushered in a second American founding. You might say, oh, it's a wonderful thing. No, it's not. The civil rights leviathan that we brought in the mid-1960s, there's a book called Age of Entitlement by Christopher Caldwell, is you built a DEI, permanent federal bureaucracy. They said at the time, we're refounding the country. So this is a great example. We thought we were getting minor adjustments in our laws in the mid-1960s to fix what was, of course, bad discrimination, racism, all that stuff. What we actually got, was a super weapon in the federal government that can be reaccommodated to the coolest, newest thing. So this is an interesting example. Turning Point USA chapter at Suffolk University that receives federal funding, so they're under all these guidelines, and they post a tweet. What was the tweet that Riley gave? I mean, anything Riley says is obviously, you know, rooted in reason, right?
This was a real doozy. So this trans activist tweets out, trans women are women. And then Riley retweets them in quotes and says, hot dogs are dogs.
Yeah.
And we had to have a meeting with Title IX for that, of all things.
No, but this is important, everybody. So then you guys all laugh, but he could get kicked out of school under a Title IX complaint using the Civil Rights Act that we as conservatives worship. Oh, MLK is a great guy. Actually, MLK was awful, okay? He's not a good person. He said one good thing he actually didn't believe. I hope you guys understand that. And that sounds like a thought crime. Go research MLK. You should go research it, okay? And we'll be doing more and more shows on that. And so we get the Civil Rights Act passed, and now you might get kicked out of school. I don't think you will be.
No.
This happens all the time. We have dozens of Turning Point USA kids under active Department of Education Title IX investigations right now for tweets and social media postings.
I've lost count of how many meetings I've had to have with my
So meetings,
and stuff,
right? And they tear you up in the bureaucracy. And I don't think people realize that the federal government is now coming after the speech of students saying biological reality using the mid-1960s Civil Rights Act that was passed with good intentions. Okay, we want to fight racism. Nobody likes racism. That is now this permanent DEI-type bureaucracy. So what can we do? We have to get the courts to step in here. Thankfully, we still have the Supreme Court, but the courts have been really weak on this, honestly. The federal courts just yield to the Civil Rights Act as if it's the actual American Constitution. You read some of these decisions, they're like, well, you know, the Civil Rights Act says this and we can't touch it. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Since where is the Civil Rights Act supposed to protect the feelings of young people in college that are suffering from a mental disorder? Like, where did that come from? And you could see they're going to use it now. When I say that it was a refounding of the country, I mean it. They're going to use the Civil Rights Act, as they have, as a way to get rid of the First Amendment. Think about it. Your speech is limited because of something passed in the 1960s. Okay, I know that might have been a little too radical for you guys, but we're gonna keep diving into it. All right, thank you.
Hello, Mr. Kirk. My name is Dylan Galvan. I am from Texas, San Antonio, Texas. And we actually started a chapter
I feel like a month ago. It's very small. We got like three people. But we're trying to get started.
Everything, Matt, give it up. That's it all matters.
And my question for you is, if you had friends that used to be Christian but now are starting to get influenced by negative sources, starting to go and get misled, how can you bring them and redirect them closer to the truth without kind of turning them off and completely lead them astray?
It's a beautiful question, and Dr. Turek is one of the best at this. So a young person that was Christian and left Christianity, so and I'm going to generalize, okay? But if a young person was raised Christian and leaves Christianity, they're probably leaving less about the facts and the supportive evidence around Christianity and more about something that they personally might be dealing with and or they just need to be loved on, right? And so the answer to the question is going to be more about the heart than the head, right? You're not going to win them back to Christianity by saying, well, let me sit down and tell you about how Josephus wrote extensively about why the resurrection was true, which, by the way, is convincing. The fruit of the transformation of the gospel is what you're going to need to see with them, right? Is to love on them. Show them, right, the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, right? That's my answer. And it's sad. It happens a lot. A majority of, Hutz, what's the number? 60 or 70% of kids that are raised Christian leave the faith? I don't know that. Barna, what is it? 70. It's 70%, right? That's a crisis, everybody. 70% of kids that are raised Christian leave the faith. I blame us. I blame us. The world is always going to be lost, and the world is always going to be doing it. We have to do a better job of strengthening and fastening. And also, I think we have to continue to do a better job of elevating the right Christian voices for our young people to support and to follow, you know, on social media and in pop culture. So love on those people, right? Because it sounds like that person is probably hurting. Maybe they have a parent issue. Maybe they had a breakup. And the number one reason young people leave the faith is they will see injustice, they will see pain, and they will see evil, and they have never thought through or been taught correctly how to address evil, pain, or suffering. And it literally, Frank does this, Frank travels the country with apologetics. And it's like two buckets, right, Frank? It's the people that have never dealt with the evil question or people that think there's no evidence for Christianity. It's one of two. So, but then they might see this and then they get bitter and then they're like, oh, all these Christians are awful, right? And so that's really where love can come in and can and love hopes all things. So thank you. Appreciate it. Thank yes.
You. Hello, my name is Matt Egerdahl. I'm here because of my son, Liam, here. He did a Victims of Communism project and got recognized and we flew out from Florida, and we've really been enjoying our time here. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
And love what you've been saying here, even to these young men here. But what I'd like to ask you, if you could share just with us the gospel in a nutshell, that would be awesome.
Sweet. Happy to do that. So, look, everyone has a court date coming up. So when you leave this earth, you're going to have to be in front of the supreme judge of the world. The Founding Fathers wrote that in the Declaration of Independence, by the way. And you're going to have to account for every mistake you ever made. And my sentencing is going to be a long, 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 long sentencing. So justice is you get exactly what you deserve. We all deserve eternal damnation because we're sinners, we're self-interested, and we continue to sin. Mercy is getting less of what you deserve. So you go in front of an almighty God, and you get maybe a reduced prison sentence. But grace, which is the gospel in one word is grace, is all of a sudden you're about to get that sentencing to go into eternal damnation, and somebody says, oh, no, I know him. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, your place is taken, like, I've already paid for that because I know him. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I don't want to have to face an almighty God and hear the words, I don't know who that is. That they were too interested in social media or their own life or the pleasures of this world. Gospel in four words is Jesus took my place. Gospel in three words is him for me. Gospel in two words is substitutionary atonement. Very wordy. Gospel in one words is grace. You don't earn a spot in heaven. You don't do good things to get to heaven. You do good things because you're saved. It's a big difference. It is a free gift that we can't even comprehend. What makes Christianity different is that God, the Logos, took the imperfect form, us, out of love. Only love can explain Christianity. Other religions can be explained other ways, and that's fine. Only Christianity can be explained through love. And so I hope everyone makes that decision in their life. And by the fruit, you will know them. The fruit of Christianity has changed the world for the better and has seen more people break through of addiction and suffering. And it says in Romans 12, 2, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's the gospel in the best way I can summarize. Is this the last one? We'll take two more, here and there, okay? And then I got to go give another six speeches or something. I don't know.
Hello, Charlie. First of all, I completely agree with you about the civil rights. I believe everyone deserves the right to freedom of association.
Thank you.
So my question is, in our libraries and even bookstores, I've personally seen an overwhelming amount of woke indoctrination. So does Turning Point Academy have a solution to revitalize libraries as places of knowledge and truth for everyone?
Yeah, that's such a great question. We're going to try our best. One of the tragedies, which no one knows about, is the American Library Association is so insane. Like, I just hope you understand. Like, you'd think that the one place, just if you ever have a spare moment, go to the American Library Association website. It will blow you away. It's like you're reading the most radical Marxist pro-LGBT. Think about it. Think about how smart these people are, right? They say, okay, if we take over the libraries, that's a way to kind of create, to take over the sourcing material for how young people learn. So we're going to try our best. The problem is the courts are terrible on this. We need a judge to stand up and say that pornography has no place in the hands of children. We need a judge to stand up and say that, okay? And this is what drives me crazy. Again, if I could contribute to kind of shaking up the American right, I hope I can, because I'm pretty good at that, which is people say, oh, that's free speech. The founding fathers never intended profanity or desecration or let's just say depravity to be speech. Speech should point towards a moral good. Right. This is this fake viewpoint neutrality nonsense that we've bought into. That's why people say, well, Charlie, don't you defend, you know, Satanists' right to have a, you know, in the Iowa State Capitol? No. No, of course I don't. And they say, well, it's not tolerant. Correct. I'm not tolerant of Satan. I don't know how else I could put that. Go back to hell, Satan. You have no place in the Iowa State Capitol in the United States of America, period. Okay? I don't know why. And then some of these lunatics on social media, well, you know, I don't support lawless. Okay, first of all, no one was hurt, okay? And if there was ever a law to violate, the law to violate would be slaying Satan. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know how clear this could be. Like, the evil one has a monument in Iowa State Capitol, and we should walk by and be like, yeah, so glad I live in a country where Satanists have rights too. The blessings of liberty allow Lucifer to be present in a state capitol. Like, that's insane if you believe that. I'm sorry, that's insane. That's never the intent of the founding of the country, ever. You know what Thomas Jefferson would do? Thomas Jefferson would deist. He'd go by and burn it. That's what he would have done. Like, they wouldn't, you think that if there was a satanic symbol in the White House, you think he'd be like, yeah, this is exactly what we had in mind, you know? Free speech for Lucifer. So, thank you. Last question.
God bless you, Charlie. I love you. 2024 is going to make the 60s look like the 50s. And there's a bad guy that you don't talk enough about. I heard you talk about Martin Luther King. But the worst scumbag on earth was J. Edgar Hoover.
Okay. I could buy into that. So thank you for the question. So I don't know if that was a question, but I'll take it. Love the spirit, though. For those that don't know, J. Edgar Hoover, he started the FBI. The FBI building's named after him. He started the domestic police force and probably was a cross-dresser. Okay. We'll get to the last question here. Wait, let's end with a student. Yes. But, sir, I love the question. I'm going to do a whole show on J. Edgar Hoover because you prompted me. So thank you. Last question.
My name is Morgan Allen. I'm from Albuquerque. And
One thing's been.
Can you spell Albuquerque?
It's okay.
I'm giving you a hard time. I can't spell Albuquerque, so.
Me either. Anyway, so. One thing's been going through my mind is once we're done with all this, like, you know, like, the fix the border and da-da-da. So, are we going to fix the entertainment process from Disney and all that?
Well, and this is where everyone needs to play a strong role, right? Cancel your Hulu subscriptions. Cancel your Disney Plus subscriptions. You guys have more purchasing power than you would believe, right? There are so many alternatives out there. I'm learning about them. Daily Wire has a great thing. Sherwood Kids has a great thing. So, find those options. And pursue that. I love the question. I'm giving you a hard time. I can't spell Albuquerque either, okay? God bless you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.